Welcome to the Rapid Learning Audio Tutorial Series, Liquids and Solids. After completing this tutorial, you will have a greater understanding of what intermolecular forces are, properties of liquids, including vapor pressure, solid structure types, phase changes, and the energy associated with those phase changes. Chemistry studies matter. Matter has different states. One of these states is solid, which have different possibilities for bonding structure. Another state of matter is liquid. The states of matter can change through phase changes, which involve breaking or forming intermolecular forces. The temperature at which a phase change takes place is determined by the vapor pressures. What are intermolecular forces? Intramolecular forces, with an A, are chemical bonds within a molecule. Breaking intramolecular forces is a chemical change. Intermolecular forces, IMF, are the physical attractions between separate molecules. Breaking intermolecular forces are physical changes. London dispersion forces. All molecules have London dispersion forces. These forces are due to a temporary ganging up of electrons on one side of a molecule. As the electrons move around the molecule, they can temporarily end up on one side. This results in a portion of the molecule that has a partial negative charge, the side where all of the electrons are, and the other portion of the molecule is left with a partial positive charge. London dispersion forces are temporary because as soon as the electrons spread out again, the force is over. It's the weakest force because it is temporary. All molecules have London dispersion forces because all molecules have electrons. But those with more electrons, larger molecules, have larger London dispersion forces. Dipole-dipole forces are between polar molecules. Polar molecules have permanent dipoles. A polar molecule permanently has a portion with a positive charge and a portion with a negative charge. They can line up so that opposite charges are adjacent to each other and form attractions. Remember, these are not chemical bonds, just physical attractions between two molecules. An example of dipole-dipole is sugar and water. Ions and dipoles can form attractions as well. An ion is a charged atom. It can come up to a polar molecule with the opposite partial charge and form an attraction. For example, the negative portion of a water molecule can be attracted to a sodium plus 1 ion. Dipole forces have permanent dipoles. The partial separation of charge within the molecule is permanent. They are not always connected to the same other molecules, but they always have the ability to connect to other molecules. Dipole forces are stronger as they have the permanent ability to form them. Only polar molecules can exhibit dipole forces. The stronger the dipole separation within a molecule, the stronger the dipole interaction will be between separate molecules. Hydrogen bonding is an especially strong case of dipole. Hydrogen atoms contain only one proton and one electron. Therefore, when they are bonded to a very electronegative atom, nitrogen, oxygen, or fluorine, the separation of charge is very large because there's no other electrons around the hydrogen proton. The hydrogen in this extreme dipole can be very attracted to lone pairs of nitrogen, oxygen, and fluorine on another molecule. Hydrogen bonds are an extreme case of dipole forces resulting from hydrogen having no other electrons. They are the strongest of the intermolecular forces. They happen when a hydrogen is bonded on an N, O, or F, and there is a molecule with an N, O, or F nearby that it can be attracted to. A summary of the four intermolecular forces types. London dispersion forces happen with all molecules and are the weakest. Dipole-dipole forces happen with only polar molecules and are of medium strength. Ion-dipole occur between an ion and a polar molecule. they are also of medium strength. Hydrogen bonding occurs when a hydrogen is bonded to an N, O, or F and comes in contact with another N, O, or F on another molecule. These are the strongest of the intermolecular forces. Liquids. Some general properties of liquids include a definite volume. Pouring a drink into a larger glass doesn't make more of the drink. A definite shape. You can pour the liquid onto a table and it will be a different shape than it was in the glass. The molecules are free to move past each other. If you put a drop of food coloring in the top of a liquid, over time it will eventually spread out to color the entire liquid. Liquids are not very compressible. A full bottle of water with no air in it cannot be easily compressed. Vapor pressure is the pressure created above a sample by particles evaporating from the sample to become gas. Solvent particles on the very top layer of a sample can evaporate. Gas particles that have evaporated from the surface of a liquid or solid now cause pressure, vapor pressure. Equilibrium is when the rate of change of the forward and reverse reaction are equal. Vapor pressure equilibrium can be achieved in a closed system. The rate of evaporation of a liquid is constant. As the liquid evaporates, gas particles are formed, which can then begin to condense down to the liquid form again. As more gas particles are created, the rate of condensation increases. Equilibrium is reached when the rate of evaporation equals the rate of condensation. How does the volume change as equilibrium is established? The liquid volume decreases at first as liquid particles become gas particles. However, the liquid volume begins to increase as gas particles begin to recondense. The liquid volume is constant once equilibrium has been reached. However, this new constant equilibrium volume is lower than the original liquid volume as some of the particles are in the gas phase. How is vapor pressure changed with temperature? Only the particles on the very top layer can evaporate. In order to evaporate, the particles must have enough energy to break the intermolecular forces and escape the liquid. Higher temperatures means higher average energy. More molecules will then have the minimum energy needed to vaporize. Therefore, as temperature increases, vapor pressure also increases. Solids. Some general properties of solids are that they have a definite volume. A solid cannot grow or shrink. They also have a definite shape. Solids cannot spontaneously change their own shape. The molecules are not free to move past each other. For example, if you write on your desk and come back a week later, the dot of ink will not have traveled across the desk. Solids are not compressible. An example is a piece of ice cannot be compressed. We can categorize solids into two categories, amorphous solids and crystalline solids. Amorphous solids have a fair amount of disorder in their structure. They don't have a repeating structure. Crystalline solids, however, do have a highly regular repeating arrangement of particles. Amorphous solids are still rigid, they're still a solid, but their particles were trapped into the solid state before they were able to align themselves into a repeating pattern. An example of an amorphous solid is glass. Crystalline structures are lattice structures composed of unit cells. The unit cell is repeated over and over and over again to form the overall lattice structure. There are three of most simple unit cell types. The cubic unit cell has 8 particles that create a cube. The body-centered cubic unit cell has a cube with 8 particles, but has a 9th particle in the center of the body of the cube. Face-centered cubes have the cube of 8 particles, but they also have a particle in the center of each of the faces of the cube. there are several types of crystalline solids. Earlier, we categorized solids into amorphous or crystalline. We can now categorize crystalline into atomic, molecular, or ionic solids. Atomic solids can be broken down into either metallic or network solids. An atomic solid is when the atoms are the unit cell. Atomic solids can be metallic solids, where each atom is a metal and the electrons are in a large pool and they are free to move throughout the structure. This allows metals to conduct electricity. Or atomic solids can be network solids. This is when nonmetals are all covalently bonded to their neighbors. Examples of this type are graphite, diamonds, or silica. Network solids can be thought of as one giant covalently bonded molecule. Molecular solids have molecules as the unit cell. Strong covalent forces within the molecule and weaker forces between the molecules. An example is ice. Each molecule is still water, H2O, but the molecules are connected with physical attractions between them. Ionic structures are structures that have positive and negative ions. These ions pack together as closely as possible, closest packing structure, in a way that will minimize repulsions between like charges and maximize attractions between opposite charges. A summary of the solid structure is amorphous solids, where there is no unit cell. They have strong intramolecular forces and weaker intermolecular forces. Crystalline solids can be one of four types: metallic, where the unit cell is metal atoms, and they bond through a pool of electrons that are free to move; network, where nonmetal atoms form the unit cells and covalently bonded throughout; molecular, where molecules form the unit cells. The molecules are covalently bonded within the molecule, but have intermolecular forces which are weaker between the molecules. Ionic solids have ions as the unit cell. There are electrostatic attractions between ions of opposite charges. There are some general properties for each of the types of solid structures. Amorphous solids have disorder in their structure, no repeating pattern. Metallic solids are excellent conductors of heat and electricity, and they are malleable and ductile. Network solids are brittle and are poor conductors of heat or electricity. Molecular solids have strong bonds within the molecule, but weak bonds between the molecule. Therefore, there's not much energy needed to melt, but a lot of energy would be needed to break the chemical bonds. Ionic solids are stable, have high melting points, and are brittle. Phase changes. Phase changes are changes between solids, liquids, and gases. Solid to liquid is melting. Liquid to gas is boiling. Gas to liquid is condensing. Liquid to solid is freezing. Solid straight to gas, skipping the liquid stage, is called sublimation. The opposite process, gas going straight to solid, is known as deposition. In order to go from a solid to a liquid, you must break some intermolecular forces. You must break all of the rest to get to a gas. When going from a gas to a liquid, some intermolecular forces are formed. From liquid to solid, the rest of the IMFs are formed. When going from a solid to liquid all in one step, all of the IMFs must be broken at once. To go from a gas back to a solid, you form all of the IMFs. Breaking intermolecular forces requires energy, while forming intermolecular forces releases it. The boiling point and the condensation point are the same thing. They are when the liquid and gas are at equilibrium. The melting point and the freezing point are also the same thing. They occur when the solid and liquid are at equilibrium. Boiling point is when vapor pressure equals atmospheric pressure. You can think of this as the atmospheric pressure pushing down on the top of the liquid. The bubbles must form with enough pressure, vapor pressure, to counteract that atmospheric pressure pushing down. Therefore, the vapor pressure must be equal to or greater than the atmospheric pressure. The melting point is where the vapor pressure of the liquid is equal to the vapor pressure of the solid. Let's examine three different temperature situations to see why this is so. The first temperature is when the solid vapor pressure is greater than the liquid vapor pressure. This means molecules escape the solid faster than they escape the liquid. The solid particles escape and join the liquid, but the liquid molecules aren't crossing over as fast. After time, all the particles will end up with a liquid. This temperature is above the melting freezing point. Temperature 2 is when the solid vapor pressure is lower than the liquid vapor pressure. In this case, molecules escape the liquid faster than they escape the solid. The liquid particles escape and join the solid, but the solid molecules aren't crossing over as quickly. After time, all of the particles will be solid. This temperature is below the melting freezing point. Temperature 3 is when the vapor pressure of the solid and liquid are equal. At this temperature, molecules escape the liquid at the same pace they escape the solid. The liquid particles escape, join the solid, and then escape at the same rate to join the liquid. At equilibrium, the amount of solid and liquid do not change over time. This temperature is the freezing point. Why do some solids sublime? Dry ice, carbon dioxide, goes straight from solid to gas at normal conditions. The intermolecular forces are very weak. The solid particles have enough energy to break all of the intermolecular forces and go straight to a gas, rather than only breaking some of them and going to a liquid. A phase diagram is a diagram showing what state of matter a substance would be in at a specific pressure and temperature. The solid is always on the left, followed by the liquid, and then the gas on the right. The triple point is the temperature and pressure at which all three states exist together. The critical point is the point above which the substance cannot exist at a liquid. How is the energy of phase changes described? The enthalpy of fusion, HFUS, is the energy necessary to break enough intermolecular forces to turn a solid into a liquid. Remember that forming intermolecular forces releases energy. Therefore, when you're forming these forces, you need to use negative enthalpy of fusion. The enthalpy of fusion equation is the total change in energy equals mass times enthalpy of fusion. Use enthalpy of fusion when melting or negative enthalpy of fusion when freezing. An example problem is to find the enthalpy of fusion of water if it takes 4,175 joules to melt 12.5 grams of water. The enthalpy of fusion is the unknown. M equals 12.5 grams. Delta H, the change in energy, equals 4,175 joules. These numbers are plugged into the equation. 4,175 joules equals 12.5 grams times enthalpy of fusion. Divide both sides by 12.5 grams and determine the enthalpy of fusion to be 334 joules per gram. The enthalpy of vaporization is the energy necessary to break the remaining intermolecular forces and turn the liquid into a gas. Remember that energy is released when going from a gas to a liquid, and therefore you need to use negative enthalpy of vaporization when you're condensing. The equation for enthalpy of vaporization is the same as that for enthalpy of fusion, except you use enthalpy of vaporization. An example problem is, if the heat of vaporization of water is 2,287 joules per gram, how much energy is released when 15.75 grams of water is condensed. Use the negative enthalpy of vaporization since you're condensing a sample. The mass is 15.75 grams. You're looking for delta H, the total energy change. Delta H equals 15.75 times negative 2287. This means delta H equals negative 36,020 joules. Energy is released because it's condensing. In summary, solids and liquids are condensed states of matter. Solids can have either amorphous or crystalline structures. Both liquids and solids have vapor pressures as particles escape to the gas state. Matter undergoes phase changes as intermolecular forces are either broken or formed. The energy changes during these phase changes can be determined using the enthalpies of fusion and vaporization. Congratulations! You have successfully completed the core tutorial on liquids and solids. For more audio and visual tutorials in chemistry, biology, physics, and math, please visit www.rapidlearningcenter.com. Thank you.